We are happy to present this episode to you ad-free, but we're also sad to present this episode to you ad-free because ads pay the bills, and I don't see you paying the bills, but you can pay the bills by directly supporting us via philosophyimprov.com/support. This is Philosophy versus Improv, where two sages try to teach each other a thing or two, and maybe you, the audience, get something out of it as well. I'm Mark Lintzmeyer, a philosophy juggernaut who's hell-bent on learning improv.
And I am Bill Arnett, an improv pedagogue, ever so curious about philosophy.
And our guest today, introduce yourself.
I'm Andrew Lavin. I do a philosophy podcast that's kind of like a radio lab or an invisibilia of philosophy, and I teach philosophy in the Northern California.
Oh, say the name of it. Give it a plug right now.
The podcast is called Reductio, which is just reduction without the N. So it's like Reductio ad absurdum.
So it's a Harry Potter podcast.
I get Harry Potter a lot. Yeah, it's a Latin word, so it must be Harry Potter, right?
Yeah.
So you started a philosophy podcaster Facebook group for the elite among the elite. I don't know. Do you police? Have you kicked people off because they didn't have a... Yours doesn't count as philosophy.
Someone did add it and then they admitted that they don't have a philosophy podcast. And so I was like, okay, well, it's for philosophy podcasters. So, but yeah, I haven't had to do too much policing. Yeah, it's a pretty small group.
What would you say is the number one issue facing today's philosophy podcaster?
My number one issue is just like growing my audience because I don't make that many episodes because it takes me a long time per episode. And so,
sure.
But yeah, I guess that's the main thing is just like trying to get people interested in lots of different philosophy programs. And people might be intimidated by philosophy to get started listening. And so that might be part of the problem too.
I just listened to one today that will probably be redundant of the thing. I let you choose, Andrew, choose the topic to throw out initially, which was normalcy.
Okay.
Normality.
Okay.
So we're going to start by disagreeing about the noun form.
Exactly.
Normalism. I think normalism, because that's like, it's like a religion. I think that everybody should be normal.
Right. Come join us.
Give us a little orientation just so Bill can know what the hell you're talking about and the audience perhaps can follow.
Yeah. So I did my dissertation on normality, basically a little more specifically, I did on normality judgments. And these are judgments, you know, sentences that you think or things like that. A lot of them take the form of what linguists call generics. And so things like cows have four legs, even though we all know that lots of cows don't have four legs. Or cows are black and white, even though we know that there are brown cows and, you know, completely black cows and things like that. And so some of the puzzles around normality is just trying to figure out what kind of thing is a normality judgment and what makes them true when we know that there are counterexamples to them. And we also tend to think that the counterexamples to these kinds of judgments don't make them false, right? So it's true that cows have four legs, even though we know that lots of cows don't have four legs and things like that. But then there's this other puzzle, a related puzzle, which is just like, what do these kinds of judgments mean? And you might think they mean something like cows normally have four legs. And so what is that sense of normal that is operative when we're saying cows normally have four legs?
I was going to say, I'm sensing we're very near to some social issues happening in our country today, in the world today. And what is a normal human? What is an abnormal human?
Mm-hmm.
And when can you get away with saying that something is normal, even though we may be able to have some people who aren't
good,
normal, but are normal?
Yeah, exactly. And that, like, that was part of what got me interested in it, is I think there's a lot of application to social issues, particularly because I think it's not something I really like attacked in my dissertation, but I think that humans kind of basically make these kinds of normality judgments. And it's behind a lot of racist judgments that we make, or ableist judgments we make, or sexist judgments we make. So there's a lot of really problematic judgments that humans are kind of tend to want to make, just kind of the way that our brains and cognition is put together that makes us want to make these kinds of judgments. And a lot of times that gets us into trouble.
Sure.
Especially when you're making judgments about like groups below the species level. I think that gets really tricky.
That's fascinating. And I'm sure there are so many foot in the mouth opportunities. I'm getting a nod over the Zoom for everyone listening.
Yes, indeed.
It's probably a minefield. Once we leave the world of cows and get to humans.
There's a reason I mentioned cows and ravens so much in my dissertation. And don't talk that much about humans. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're all going to do really offensive neuroatypical stereotypes for this first scene. Is that what's going to go on?
Yeah, sounds good.
Oh, yes.
We're going to win the Academy Award by buttoning our button to the top button. And let's not go any further down that road. Bill.
I'm thinking of a certain line from Tropic Thunder that I won't repeat. Yeah,
that is exactly the reference that I was hoping you would get.
Yes. Well, I don't know how much improv experience you've had, Andrew. I do know there is a little scene out there in Northern California where you are, in Sacramento area.
Mm-hmm.
But these scenes with Mark, they're usually real simple. And we worry more about being who our character is than we worry about being good improvisers.
We worry about being normal. We worry about having just normal characters, doing normal things.
You have no idea how my philosophy on improv heightens this idea that we all have certain understandings. And that we can tap into those certain understandings and very quickly generate moments and generate scenes by tapping into those shared understandings.
Yeah, right.
I'm not calling them normal.
I can see the link with a lot of the thinking I've done about normality here, yeah.
All right. Yes, Mark?
I believe when I asked Andrew about this over Facebook, the words, "I love improv," were typed.
I have some friends who are into it. I've seen a lot of improv as a observer, but I haven't done too much participating in it. But I do love it as an art form. I think it's awesome.
Cool. Well, awesome. Well, this will be awfully normal. Now, I have a little lesson as well. The last few episodes, I've been trying to demonstrate my lesson rather than do it. And then we'll have a little talk. If we do a second scene, maybe I'll ask for something particular, but this first time through, I'll just demonstrate what it is I'm going for and see if y'all pick up on it.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that cool? Mark, do you want to get us going? Or how are you feeling about that, Mark?
I think that's kind of our normal modus operandi.
And in fact, the nature of my lesson might require you to get this scene started first.
All right. So this is not normally how we run things here, but I feel like we have to be really extra sensitive because we've got some new students that are going to be entering, and they've got some very special needs.
Okay.
I mean, some of them, they're refugees. They're not from Earth. So
I got to be honest, that I did not expect anything that you were going to say just now. Yeah.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
They're not from Earth. The refugees are not from Earth.
They're a collection. There was an Ark. You probably heard about that on the news, the Ark.
Yeah. It was big.
No, that came and brought.
I don't actually watch the news. So yeah, this is all just brand new to me.
That was a big meteorite that they thought was going to hit the Earth. And then it slowed down. It turned out it was some like space capsule, space lifeboat or something. I don't know. Ark, they're calling it. Yeah.
I think someone mentioned something about this on TikTok. But yeah, I don't really know.
So as the premier boarding school in Connecticut, in the greater Connecticut area.
Yeah.
We were asked to take really the best of them. I think we got to pick.
The upper echelon.
But they're still, among.
Okay, hold on. These aliens who are able to transit space need an Earth education. That's what we're saying. A boarding school education.
I mean, it looks like it was one of those like women and children first from the planet that was
Fair enough.
But they're no adult women I can tell.
Is the plan to like just mainstream them, just kind of drop them in a classroom? Are we going to have a special classroom just for the alien children? Or
I mean, they've gone through some orientation. I mean, this ARC thing was a good 6 months ago, and so they've been kind of in holding and just getting some general acclimation. But we're expected to, this is, they don't know how to get back to where they came from.
Yeah.
Or anywhere else. So just to be clear, it is not, all one species. This is not sort of Krypton. This was sort of I can't pronounce, for some reason, all these different species seem to be able to pronounce the name of this planet. I can't, but
just interject real fast. This is going to be an absolute media circus. It really, really is. we are going to have the spotlight and the microscopes fixed on us the entire time.
Microscopes, because right? So I teach PE, so that like if we're in
metaphorical.
Good. You had me worried there. If we need microscopes to see these guys, then
the outside world is going to be looking at us to educate these alien children, right?
Well, do we know anything about their bodies yet? Because I'm, like I said, I'm just totally in the dark here, and I teach PE. I'm gonna have to know, like, what, you know, are these bipedal? What, you know, what's going on?
Well, I mean, this is why, Coach, that we asked you here, because I really, the presidential physical fitness tests is the thing that I'm really most concerned with. All other standardized tests seemingly have gone by the wayside. And I think thanks to affirmative action, they should have no trouble getting into the colleges of their choices because people are very excited to have interstellar visitors. I mean, ones that are sort of rodentine might have more trouble. They have their own challenges.
Right.
But for the most part, the ones with at least one, you know, that are able to make physical sounds and, you know, seem to be more or less under control.
Look, no disrespect. No disrespect, Coach. PE is the least of my concerns right now.
Well, getting it's the most of my concerns, so, you know.
Well, sure, but I mean, getting these aliens onboarded with human society? I mean, that's like language, math and arts and sciences. And I mean, are we going to try to teach them anything about their home world? Or is that just down the toilet? I don't know.
Well, I also teach.
What are we doing?
I also teach Spanish. Do you want me to teach them Spanish?
That might be a little confusing. So during their orientation, I'm told they were, quote, language blasted, which I think mostly means that they played some sort of video game that would say yell words at them.
That's exactly how
And then
how
they
I
got to watch
it.
A lot of game shows. So between the and reality TV. So I think they've probably have English down. Yeah, I think expanding them to other languages, that they're probably going to be better at that overall than we are, you know.
We could play some kind of hybrid Spanish language dodgeball thing. You know, that's kind of right in my wheelhouse.
See, dodgeball.
What?
I'm worried that might be seen as aggressive. Mm. There have been, you ever see that opening scene in Jurassic Park where there's like the velociraptor in the tank and the guy gets his arm?
Yeah.
There have been some kind of things like that. I mean, nothing to be really concerned about.
Dinosaurs. Okay. They're afraid of dinosaurs, or?
I'm just saying that if you were to throw a ball at some of these creatures that are maybe a bit more reactive than we are, then I don't necessarily want to see what they would do in response to that.
I'm going to go out on a limb and just say this. We treat these aliens just like we treat any human student that we have.
Now, do we have like a special word that we're supposed to call them? There's like a PC way to refer to them, like, you know, are they like other species persons, or, you know,
student
persons with other species, or
I mean OTPs. I like that. Other
OTP. Yeah. Okay.
Other whatever you just said.
Other species persons. I guess that would be
OSP.
We call them student. We call them student, and we treat them just like anybody else. It doesn't matter the color of your skin, where you're from, or how many arms you have, or legs, or heads you have.
Right.
We treat them the same.
Okay, so no dodgeball, but like, what about, I don't know, like track and field, you know, is that going to be even fair?
I think that we should encourage all fitness levels. It is important for our reports that we have, you know, our funding is based on the presidential physical fitness test. This is really what it comes down to. You would think that it would be these other standardized tests, but that's really the only one that the feds care about.
No child left
behind.
And
so, I want to make sure that the centipede people and the, I mean, that's, again, these are really names just between us because they're...
Right. They're all just students.
The fact that they sort of... Yeah,
they're all
the
just students. They're all just students.
They
just,
might
just
look
OSPs.
Like...
OSPs.
Yeah, we'll think of what that stands for because I like I like OTPs. We're going to stick with OTPs. I know it doesn't mean anything.
Other terrestrial persons?
Yes, because they're here now. Right. They're terrestrial.
Yeah.
And they're other.
Well,
we got to make sure that they feel like they're other.
No, we don't. We call them by their names. That's what we call them. We call them by their names.
Okay.
We call them by their names.
The names that we're assigning them.
Can we pronounce their names? Is that going
to
be an issue?
No.
We'll have to learn. We're going to have to learn. We're going to have to learn.
Jason, Carl.
Okay.
These are easy. Those are human
Susie. Yes, those are ones that
are a little Eurocentric, but I'm okay with it.
Benito. We can do some non-Eurocent. Well, that's still sort of Eurocentric. Yeah. You know, we'll work on the names. That might be something that they come equipped with, but I think, yeah, we want to be a little careful in how we approach all this.
The media spotlight will be on us. Mm-hmm. And I think we just pretend they're not even here.
No, the spotlight's going to be on us. Are we going to put on a play? Because I don't teach theater.
The metaphorical spotlight, coach? Oh. Okay.
Okay. Sorry.
All right. The attention of the world will be on us.
It's just PE in Spanish for me, so I just wanted to make that clear.
I was thinking that we could help with the school funding by demonstrating them, you know, maybe a sideshow sort of, just a term between us, because I know that has some connotations.
Like a freak show or something.
A chance to present their culture. A chance to present their culture.
Are we not cool with freak show though? Okay. So yeah, you guys are going to have to educate me because
OTP show.
An OTP show. Okay. Good.
A student show.
A student show.
A student show.
A student show of students. For students, by students.
Bingo. Bingo. We don't even need to delineate. We don't even need to do it. Why should we delineate?
All right. Good. Yeah. I think I got this. No dodgeball.
Why are we even having this meeting? They're just regular students.
I'm right there with you. 100%. I'm just going to line them all up and do some dodgeball Spanish with them. It's going to be great.
Great plan, coach. Great plan. We don't want anyone to feel as though that they are other.
Mm-hmm. Even if they might potentially get squashed by a dodgeball.
Yeah, they're definitely other.
Wow.
It could be that we're the others, actually, now that I'm thinking more about this. But we got a cultural dominance. We can, there's a different public side and in this room side. Right. I know, I'm just lucky we got the elite among the aliens that it was.
This is a safe space. We can speak freely here.
Right. Yay!
All right. I was thinking of a stinger for that. I just couldn't think of a good one.
very nice.
All right. So in terms of normality, I guess not having any baseline, it is, of course, species specific. So we were just getting right at the connection between normality and fairness. You know, you want to judge. So is it more fair to have all the kids on one sports team? Or do we say we acknowledge gender differences?
Right.
And if we make all the kids on the same team, then that'll lead to women being underrepresented, your girls be underrepresented. So let's have two teams. But then now we have the trans issue that makes even that solution was not perfect because we don't know how to deal with that anymore.
Right. It matters for certain sports. It doesn't matter for other sports. And of course, in the public conversation about these things, no one wants to slow down and have the nuance. It's just a lot of reactionary.
I think if we're going to talk about cows again, I think height is an interesting thing that if you go down to your home improvement store and buy, you need a new front door, it's going to be 6 feet, 6 inches. That is normal, typical, standard front door height. Yet not every human who will be using that door is shorter than 6 feet, 6 inches. Now, I don't know what the distributions of heights are. And if you laid out everyone from shortest to tallest in the world, you know, where 6'6 would be and, you know, what the standard deviation from the mean is for height.
Right. There's like a statistical sense of normality, which is kind of like, what's a normal height? What's a common height? Most of the people are under 6'6". And so, you know, the other people can just deal with it. And then there's this other sense of normality that I've been more interested in, which is a non-statistical sense of normality where apparently some humans are 7'2" and that there's no health conditions, you know, associated with it as far as I know. And that, you know, so it's apparently just a normal way to be a human being. It's just not very statistically normal in the sense of common or ordinary.
Boy, it's a real mess, isn't it? It's a real hornet's nest where common or ordinary, suddenly those words can become loaded,
right.
Just as normal can become loaded. I'm not ordinary. You're extraordinary.
You're extraordinary. Which,
well, that's usually a good thing, but
you're superlative.
yeah.
So the idea with biological species that they have a certain normal pattern of growth, pattern of health. And so anything that deviates from that, you know, it might not be that bad. You could be atypical in certain ways that are just entirely neutral as to your quality of life. And so we would just say, you know, you're not normal, but so what?
When does shyness become an issue? When does shyness become abnormal? What level of, you know, become an issue?
Right. I would actually tie it pretty closely to something like well-being or well-functioning. And so like a lot of the conversations about like autism is this just another way of being a human being? Is this just another normal way of being human? It's just different. It's not abnormal. Or you could say, well, normal is a relatively ethically and evaluation neutral term. And so we can say, yeah, you're abnormal, but there's still nothing wrong with you, or it's a perfectly fine way to be.
Get on the PA and tell everyone normal is ethically neutral.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
I think that might be a lost cause. As soon as I was saying that, you're abnormal, but that's okay. No, let's come up with a different term.
Yeah, that's why I favor the first approach and just say, like, turns out there's multiple ways to be normal. They're not going to be the same. Just like there are black and white cows and there are brown cows. It doesn't mean that one has to be the only normal way.
The school my children go to has a pretty fair population of students who require special needs. And I think something they do is they try to put them in the, I don't want to say normal, they put them in the, you know, one or two in the regular classroom. Mm-hmm. And again, you want to have this image that there is a normalcy to experiencing people who have some kind of handicap or require special assistance. However, they do require special assistance. So they are both normal in our experience, yet abnormal or atypical in another regard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's different senses of normal, I think, is part of what happens. And it happens at different levels of specification and things like that. So you can be normal with respect to this and not normal with respect to that. Just depends on what you're talking about. You can be a normally colored cow versus a, you know, abnormal because, you know, a male cow who lacks horns or something like that, right? So there are different senses in which you can, senses and dimensions where you can be normal or abnormal all at the same time.
I feel like maybe I was even too, for humans, the word normal is too loaded that we should just think of some other terms. But normal has norm built into it, right? Mm-hmm, it has normative.
Yeah.
And that is the prototypical way that we would use this. If you're talking about what is normal growth and development, that if there is an abnormality in development, then that is something that it's not always the case that we would fix it if we could, but I am as God made me, as they might all say, no matter how they turn out. But no, God intended, rather nature or genetics intended the normal way of development. And so it's a socially fraught issue.
Right.
And it might be just a matter of like, well, if an abnormality is widespread enough and it doesn't decrease quality of life, then can we just destigmatize that, you know, while still, I don't know, is there an inevitable conflict between destigmatizing it on the one hand and genetic research to try to make it not exist in the future? Or is that genocide? I guess that has really been raised like with regard to Down syndrome and stuff like that.
Right. Like a lot of disability studies and philosophy of disability, people have argued that like there are ways of being a human that a lot of people would think of as abnormal, but in fact are just perfectly, you can achieve as much flourishing, if not more, than people who are quote unquote normal. And so they would get very nervous about like ideas about genetically engineering it out of the population, or like in certain European countries, there's just like basically no one with Down syndrome being born because they do the prenatal tests and then abort fetuses or abort pregnancies if they have Down syndrome. And people with Down syndrome think that's a problem. It is a sort of a form of genocide, according to them.
Yeah. You're familiar with the euphemism treadmill, but it's this idea that when we assign a word to something, it will slide via the treadmill to being loaded, and there are a lot of words that were like, all right, we're going to just invent a word out of, I want to say, I think the word moron was invented straight up in 1920 or something. Just like it didn't exist, and it was invented by a doctor. Yeah, he was probably doing some things that we wouldn't do today, Right. However, it was invented out of thin air, and now it is incredibly loaded, despite this person's intentions of having a medically clean, there is no way to look at this other than its definition. I mean, I guess we're just hitting society dignity head on with all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Does that quell the conversation?
Yeah, it depends on the context and what you're...
Why even have the conversation? Why even worry about why to define a normal? Is there a reason to even have that concept other than door frames?
One thought is, it's like the kind of thought that I think Elizabeth Barnes has made in certain things, where it's like people are going to keep having these thoughts in their private lives and their private conversations, like in the safe space in the teacher's lounge, right? They're going to keep having those conversations. So it's better to interrogate them and try to get clear on what sorts of things you can say, what the implications are of those things, saying this and that, and what sorts of positions you can comfortably hold and are tenable, because people are going to keep thinking that certain people are abnormal or certain people are, insert other more offensive term here. And we need the tools to really give people to carefully and humanely about these sorts of issues, it seems like.
Sure, I'd buy that. I think humanity, we have lots of baggage and tendencies that we don't even, we think are choices when they're actually not really choices.
Yeah.
And clearly the most delicate, humane way to deal with a sensitive topic like this is through improv scenes.
Of course.
Where we are already...
It's a safe space.
To the line in the last one. What is a different approach?
No one's ever gotten canceled from improv, right?
Nope. Absolutely not.
I don't know, Andrew, is there a thought experiment or something that might form the foundation for a scene?
I have something, and if you don't mind, do you guys have any idea what I was doing?
In the first one, I mean, you picked a point of view of we're going to treat everybody the same, and you kind of stuck to that, not mechanically, but that was an establishing character space, whereas I was sort of trying to feel out like where I was even coming from. How offensive I was supposed to be.
It felt like you had a character from the get-go, whereas I always felt like I was developing my character throughout the scene. And it felt like you came in more with, like, I felt like I knew who you were faster than I even knew who I was.
Thank you. It's, I think, something that happens in improv, and perhaps in this world as well, is that there are some things we can ask of ourselves and each other that are far more difficult than we realize. Mm-hmm. Hey, everybody. Just treat everybody normal and don't see any difference. It's like, okay. It's like, no, we can't. That's really, really difficult ask of humanity to just switch off these things that perhaps in caveman times was very useful, but now are hindrances. So in the same kind of regard, it's unfair of me to just say, know who you are. What I was doing is, and it's something I try to do a lot, is make sure that there are some very solid techniques that you can leverage pretty easily that will lead to knowing who you are. And what I was doing is, that whole time, I was trying to make, every time Mark says, and there you as well, Andrew, just have a very specific emotional reaction to what you said. The entire scene. Huh? Oh, huh? And if I wasn't really sure what it was, I would repeat back what someone said. What, these aliens are coming to our school? And in repeating it, I could take on? And it doesn't matter what you pick. These aliens are coming to our school. Mm-hmm. These aliens are coming to our school. It doesn't matter what you pick, but it's in, by making it someone else's words, you don't have to worry about the words. So that's what I was doing. And
that's what you were doing?
Yes, Mar.
That's that what you were doing?
Yes. Yes. Y'all want to try that on?
Yeah, I want to try that on.
Let's see what we get. I kind of let the cat out of the bag here, but sometimes that happens, especially when we have guests. Welcome, gentlemen. Are you checking in to the hotel?
Yeah, I'm checking in.
All right.
That's why else would I be at the front desk?
Well, I don't know. Perhaps you had a problem, needed some towels, or something else. We'll make it your situation. Do you have an ID and a credit card?
Fair point.
We do want extra towels.
Yeah.
A lot of extra towels.
Let's anticipate that in the future. We're already going to need that. So.
All right. Well, the room has been serviced for this evening, but I'll let housekeeping know. I just need an ID and a credit card for incidentals, and we'll get this rolling.
James, did you bring the credit card?
Did you bring the credit card?
I didn't bring the credit card because I thought you brought the credit card.
I did bring the credit card. I have.
Whew. Okay.
Yep.
Good. which kind of ID do you need? Because I have my birth certificate, I've got social security, passport, real ID, fake ID.
It's just state ID is fine. State ID or a passport is fine. Is this the name the room is reserved under?
James, did you bring my IDs?
Did you bring your IDs?
James, I didn't bring my IDs because I thought you were bringing my IDs.
I brought your IDs. Here are the... I brought all the IDs.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
We do need more towels than that, though.
Not enough towels.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. All right. Get this entered in the...
What is the normal amount of towels that people normally ask for?
Double it.
Okay. All right. That would be 8 towels. Typically, a room is stocked with 4 towels.
No, double that amount.
Double
that amount.
And then double it again.
6.
Because there's double for him and then double for me.
Yes.
Okay. I'll let housekeeping know. Maybe we'll start you off with 8 towels for today. It is after 4 p.m., so not sure how many towels you'll need, but...
we're going to need a lot.
It is after 4 p.m. Yeah, a lot of towels.
Okay. I'll let housekeeping know.
You'll let housekeeping know, but can you let them know right now? Can we see you let them know?
Okay, I'm saying, let's get you checked in here. Some of these IDs have several different names. I'm seeing a Clyde Phillips. I'm seeing a C. Phillipson. I'm seeing, is that Cletus? Cleophas?
I gotta say, I'm not seeing the problem here. You're gonna have to spell it out for me.
Well, the reservation is under one of these names, I'm presuming. And I just let me know what name I'm putting in some names, and nothing's coming up.
It's under James.
Yeah, nothing's coming up.
It's under James.
James with 2 J's.
Spell it out, James. Spell it out for the man.
J. Ames.
Okay. Okay.
Did you get that?
Yes. Yes. Okay, I am showing 4 reservations under J. James. Is this all?
Yes, those are them. Those are them. How many reservations do people normally make?
1.
Because double that.
1.
And then double it for me.
Double that, double it again. That's 4.
4 rooms?
No, 4 reservations.
4 reservations.
We just need the 1 room. But
it's really just to claim the towels.
Yeah, we just want as many towels as you can bring us, basically.
Okay, so
if you had 4 rooms available, you just take all the towels out of them and then just give it to us for the 1 room.
Yeah, but we're only paying for the 1 room. Let's get that
That's right, definitely.
Clear right off the bat.
Well, I'll have to cancel these other reservations then.
Cancel those other reservations then.
Just don't cancel the towels. That's all I'm asking.
Fair enough. Just so you know, we our housekeeping staff works very, very hard. And if anything were to happen to that room, we would charge incidentals for the credit card and our...
They work hard. James works hard. Okay?
I'd like to see them work hard. Can you call them now?
Well, no, they're not in the building right now. I just want you to know, if you're planning on doing anything to the room that would require extra work by this housekeeping staff, that will be charged to your incidental card. I'm nervous about this towel request.
What is the normal amount of work that they do? You said it gives a full service.
It's about 15 minutes. It's about 15 minutes to turn over a room.
Double that. And then double it again. Double it again.
And then double it again.
An hour. You're going to do something to the room that will require an hour of work by our housekeeping staff. Is that what you're telling me?
I got to be honest. That's a pretty conservative estimate. I would double it again. That's
2 hours.
I don't know. Wow. Do you feel like this is a normal night or is this extraordinary night? Double it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
4 hours. We're up to 4.
Do what James said. Can you write that down? I want to see you write it down.
I'm considering canceling this all the reservations.
No, just cancel 3 of the 4.
What?
James.
And then double it, and then double it again.
James, I can't talk to this guy. And then double it again. Are you getting it?
You want us to cancel 18 reservations. Is that what you're saying?
I didn't come here to do math.
I would prefer to have a buffer around our room.
It's going
to
get loud.
So that none of the other guests are disturbed.
It's going to get loud, and we don't want to call at 2 a.m. saying, can you keep it down? We don't want that, all right?
I can't guarantee that our other clients won't be upset if there's a loud noise going on and some activity that will require both an inordinate amount of towels and 8 hours of cleaning. I'm gonna put a hold on this card, if that's okay.
You're going to put a hold on our card?
Just to make sure that there's enough money on here. It won't be charged.
Oh, there's enough money on there.
There's plenty of money on the card. Don't worry about that, sir.
What's the normal amount of money to be on a card?
Well,
5,
Double that.
$10, something like that.
I was thinking...
At least double that.
$2,000.
$2,000. James, I can't talk to this person.
Are we done?
Yay!
I was in character. I was not saying, are we done with the scene? But it works. It works on a meta level as well. I don't think that's probably what you had in mind of have a reaction and use the other person's word to do it in a psychopathic way. That's probably not what you had in mind.
Well, I enjoyed it. I didn't read psychopath so much as just like, it's kind of a, now I keep going to use these judgment words. Just kind of a lummox, you know, just kind of a lump, just kind of like a little slow and weird and abnormal.
How much juice can we get out of the towel gag?
No, but in the same way, I thought Andrew did a sharp job. Like there was some repetition in what he was doing. And I think that, I hope that was helpful, Mark, about like, oh, that's my job to like, you had the credit card, you had the IDs and the nature of your relationship. I have no idea.
It's very
and
unclear.
Andrew was good enough to give my character a name. And yeah. I should have done so immediately for him, but then I just didn't for so long that I just thought it was better not to.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, even though the nature of your relationship was unclear, I didn't mind. I didn't care. And its unclarity was a strong point of ambiguity.
Right.
In a literary sense of ambiguity. You know, if this were to go on longer, maybe I'd like to know. But
yeah,
it was... weird.
Added to the mystery of the tells.
Yeah, added to the mystery.
Producers for a snuff film? I don't know. I was thinking about whether we should talk about other equipment that we're bringing in. But again, it seemed like, let's just not even give any more detail.
Yeah, stay weird. That was enjoyable. Did you feel you were doing the thing I asked, or at least did at the beginning? Or
I got into it a little bit more later. Like at the beginning, I like kind of... I had some reactions and I was like, wait, I'm not doing the thing he told me to do.
Well, I hope that was because you were just so in the moment, you know, and so launched into the scene.
I just wanted something profound about normality to be in there. And
I think it's subtextual. I think there was some subtextual as opposed to what is normal behavior at a hotel. How many towels is considered normal?
I think it's in the text. It's in the...
Yeah, yeah. I will say that I think hotel towels are exactly one less than society thinks there should be. I think that's we can all agree to that.
We tapped into the zeitgeist there.
Yeah, yeah.
When I moved down to grad school, or actually it was a year after I'd moved down to grad school, but the rest of my band was moving down to Austin from Michigan, and we all went together and we had a little mini tour, and we would stop in a hotel and one person would check in, you know, because we were very poor.
I know this trick.
And so, and I don't know if they explicitly asked us how many people, but in any case, I had to go back in the morning in Tennessee and say, can we have like 15 more towels? It's like, you're down for one person.
Yeah, yeah.
I like to use them as blankets.
Fair enough. You know they're clean.
Yeah, exactly. Probably more clean than the comforter on the bed, actually. Yeah.
Yes, more likely there, yeah. Normally,
yeah.
I mean, I feel like we usually, in wrapping up here, we kind of recap the lesson or figure out, I don't know, I was looking for something specifically about just this relationship between norms and normativity. Mm-hmm. Remember what normativity is, Bill?
Normativity?
Yes.
It's like Jesus baby scene with the sheep and the...
Joseph and the wise men. Norm nativity.
Ah, okay. Yeah. A typical nativity scene. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Just any shoulds and oughts.
Yes.
And thinking about norms, did I use the word teleology? That's my magic word.
Okay.
But the normal course of an organism's growth, it's teleology. Or, you know, you could build that into, you can have whole concepts of ethics that are based on this, that, you know, it's sort of the normal and healthy way for us to act. And that's what morality should be safeguarding. But of course, we can see a lot of ways that that has been abused historically.
Right.
Yeah.
Behavior is abnormal. And, oh, women outside the home, that's highly abnormal. That goes against human nature. You know, so there's something,
the natural
even
law,
though it can be misused, yes, that is... I think very useful, and it overcomes the is-ought problem that we've talked about before, that you might think that there's nothing about the state of nature, or, you know, the descriptions of things that would necessitate that you act a certain way. And strictly speaking, just saying like, well, normally people are happy by just having fulfilling relationships and finding some meaningful work for them to do. why can't you be like that? That might not be so helpful for you to hear, but at least teleology of human nature gives us a framework in which we can start to solve problems. I don't know, Andrew, does that...
Yeah, kind of a neo-Aristotelian approach. So it kind of comes from Aristotle. And so, yeah, the idea that there's something kind of built into human nature that tells you how you ought to live. And you can derive just kind of by studying human nature and getting clear on what human nature is, you can derive like a picture of a successful or happy life from that. And like Mark was saying, it's associated with some really bad views that exclude a lot of people from the possibility of a good life. And it's, and, you know, Aristotle himself had a lot of bad views as well. But I think there's a way to sort of liberalize the view a bit to allow for there to be multiple ways to live a happy, successful human life. And then you might think that means there's multiple normal ways to live a human life.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I think we can't help as humans, but look around us talking about is ought and feel like, well, this is how things are. This is probably the way they should be. And I think it's called a fallacy because we keep falling for it. there's lots of different cultures around the world. So it's the way that this is how it ought to be suddenly falls apart when you recognize that there are a lot of different ought to be's looking around the world.
Yes, it has to be a very general level. You know, that's why I yes. said, like, find something fulfilling to do, have meaningful relationships.
Yes.
That's about all we can say. So, Bill, you were, I think, pretty
direct
on the surface, explanatory, direct about your lesson, which is establishing a character by reacting.
If I wanted you to achieve X and I asked you to do Y, what was Y forcing you to do that allowed you to achieve X, if that makes sense?
What do you think, Andrew? Pull out your logic skills, your algebraic skills.
Yeah, I'm having trouble tracking what X is, but why?
So why solve for X?
Yeah, why was have a sort of reaction to everything that the other person said, and have a particular emotional reaction, and you can use their words to guide you along.
Yeah,
and I guess I'm thinking that's a good exercise because it gives you something to say and allows you to build a character without having to also think of dialogue at the same time. And without, like, it allows you to build a character fairly quickly and easily.
What is a character? What is the key component of a character that this was discovering, helping you discover?
Like their emotional life.
Yeah, how you feel about what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
This is how I feel about this situation, you know? And we can redo hotel reservation scenes. We can do 20 of those things. And how they feel about a reservation going sideways is exactly who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And a wonderful explanation.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've reached the moment of decision. And Andrew, as the guest, you get to be the guest judge. Because you're so impartial in this.
So impartial, yeah.
You know, often, not that there is an off, there is no normal for this yet, because we haven't had enough philosophy guests. But last time a philosophy guest came on, I was the judge because it was sort of their thing. But the thing that you brought in was so central, that teleology thing, to like, I can't be objective about that either. So I think by default, we have to go back to the norm. Since Judge Bot is non-functional today, there's some struggle. There was some, it'll be back probably next time. But yes, do you feel like the philosophy lesson or the improv lesson was most inspiring, most will make the greatest change in the world here?
Yeah. Okay. So I have multiple thoughts. One is that the philosopher, I think, is always going to be more interested in the improv bit because it's new to them. And some of the philosophy is just like stuff you've heard of before. But then that the question of, will it make the biggest impact on the world, you know?
Is that an overstatement, Bill? Am I tipping the scales with this description?
That should always be how we judge ourselves. What's going to impact the world the most? It's really...
Everything must always change the world.
Yeah.
So in other words, defining it that way, both are zero. So there is always a tie.
Fractional, yeah.
It's always a tie, yeah. No, I mean, I guess if we're judging from like what's really urgent and important in the world, I do think normality and getting clear on what it means and when we can apply the terms and all the sorts of judgments in that area is really important. That's why I spent 5 years thinking about it. But I also really like the bit about how people's emotional reactions, like that tells you who they are, how they respond to the world around them is who they are. And I like that bit quite a bit too.
Well,
so we'll call it a tie. We'll call it.
Sounds good. Yeah.
And normalcy and normality, both good, according to the internet.
They are both real words.
Normalism, I'm pushing for that. I'm pushing for normalism.
Yeah, but, normalism, that's a religion. You know, contact me if you want to get involved. I'm the
Normdom. And the kingdom of Normdom.
The great leader, the prophet of normalism. So, yeah.
Well, I enjoyed learning from you guys today, Andrew and Bill.
And I enjoyed learning from you, Mark and Andrew.
I enjoyed learning from you, Mark and Bill.
And see.
Hey, all. Hope you like the show. Remember to look up Andrew's Reductio podcast on the podcast service of your choice. And make sure you're subscribed directly to the Philosophy versus Improv podcast, even if you are listening to this, say, on the Partially Examined Life feed. Because there, you're not getting these episodes in a timely manner. And like last episode that wasn't on the feed at all, you're not getting everything. So go to philosophyimprov.com or look up Philosophy versus Improv on the podcast app of your choice. Another option is to get the feed that will be perpetually ad-free, including free of excoriations like this. You can see your options to do that at philosophyimprov.com/support. Finally, we would love your help in promoting this thing. Send this fine episode to all your friends. Put it on your Facebook, on your Twitter, on your Instagram. We have accounts on all those things, so go follow us on those. Again, the links are going to be at philosophyimprov.com. And while you're there, in the upper right corner, you'll see a nice review this podcast widget, which will walk you right through how to leave a nice rating and review on Apple Podcasts or somewhere else. Thanks. Bankrupt.